You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
And everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked. You know the saying. Everybody knows that saying. Except for maybe M. Night Shyamalan. I don't think he used that line in the film. Avatar, The Last Airbender. Netflix has the full rights and its own series, is my understanding. And you could also check out that animated show that it's based on the same streaming service. 8 episodes, some bordering on an hour long. We start out before the Fire Nation declares war on the world. Aang has just been told he'll be the Avatar. What's an Avatar? Well, an Avatar is born every generation to a different tribe, fire, earth, water, air. And this particular Avatar, Aang, is a young airbender. He's told he will burden this responsibility and keep peace throughout the land. I think the allegory is trading nuclear powers every 50 to 100 years. And that way, the world will be at peace, since the world will never have a single power advantage over the other tribes. Aang's a little scared, as any young teen would be, given this responsibility. So he takes off, and he is lost, never to return. Until 100 years later, when two water tribe siblings find him, Sokka and Katara, and they let him know that when the Avatar disappeared, the Fire Nation decided they were gonna rule the world, and every tribe is in a constant state of war to try and stop their marching oppression. Aang, realizing that the world needs an Avatar, takes up the burden and goes on a quest to master his training and save the world. With me to talk about this live-action adaptation, someone who knows that earth, wind, and fire have the best harmony is with us.
Oh my god. I like it. Good. I'm a waterbender myself, but okay.
And I'm curious to ask her what tribe she belongs to. Of the four elements, Jordan is with us.
I am Jordan, the not at all last genderbender. And I align with the Earth Kingdom because Toph motherfucking Beifong, bitches.
We have Gordon Cormier playing Aang, Kiwene Teo playing Katara, her brother Sokka, played by Ian Ousley, and they're being pursued by the Fire Nation, a young Prince Zuko, and his Uncle Iroh. Uncle Iroh played by, kind of rising in popularity thanks to Star Wars, Paul Sun-Hyung Lee, and Prince Zuko played by Dallas Liu. They're two that relationship and story arc, Uncle Iroh and Zuko, it was my favorite of this series. And then we have Fire Lord Ozai, played by the Total Smoke Show, Daniel Daykamp.
He's a hottie.
Yeah. Such a hottie. If it wasn't a bloodline thing, I feel like all firebenders would just see him and be like, that's it. That's the guy in charge. Give him the crown. I adored the Fire Nation stuff and want to see a season 2 as soon as possible because of just how great I thought Dallas and Paul, Uncle Iroh and Zuko, played off of each other and actually had character arcs. The core three, not so much, but let's get into that. What did you two love about this and hate about this?
Well, I'll echo what you said. Like, my favorite thing throughout was Zuko and Iroh. Like, especially Zuko. Dallas Liu did a fantastic job. He really captured the essence of that character and, like, his turmoil and struggle and just how Zuko can be his own worst enemy. And, like, I'll say this up front. Like, I think the original Avatar: The Last Airbender, that's one of the most important works of storytelling and art in the last century, personally to me. I really do think it is. This is a bit of a middling adaptation. Is it better than that 2010 film? Yeah, but that's not a high bar to clear. Let's be real. I wasn't a fan of the first episode. I thought it was clunky as hell with how it was trying to get the exposition across, like the information, like even how the grandmother pretty much word for word recites the iconic opening narration of the show.
I liked it's just that. Like, I thought that was great.
Fun shout out.
And not so much. But yeah, Zuko and Iroh, they were the best parts. I will say Daniel Day-Kim, I loved seeing him having fun as Ozai. Like, you can tell he was having a blast with this, getting to really sink his teeth into. And he's, like, been involved in Avatar. He was General Fong in the second season of the original show.
Oh, cool.
And he was Hiroshi Sato in The Legend of Korra. But the cast, it's a mixed bag. I like Kaiwen Teo as Katara. Ian Owsley, when he, like, can settle in as Sokka, then, like, you know, he's really good. Gordon Cormier, he does get better as it goes along as Aang, but yeah,
I think y'all are being too hard.
No.
I really do. I thought Sokka's Ian Owsley was the best iteration going from animation to live action. I thought he did the best job, personally. I really did. I saw him as Sokka, and I was like, yep, that's Sokka. Yep. And totally believed it. Katara, I think, does need a little work, but I thought she still did a really great job. I'm not going to mutilate her name. I apologize. And I thought Gordon as Aang, he is totally believable as being a 11-year-old, 12-year-old boy. You know, I think people are being a little too hard on this show.
Yeah, I don't think, I just want to say, I don't think there was anything wrong with Gordon Cormier. Mm-hmm. For some reason, though, so much of his dialogue was saying out loud either what was going on or what has happened, right, or what maybe the littler kids in the audience weren't paying attention.
Yeah, that's not his fault.
Yeah, anytime anyone would bend, he had to jump in and be like, oh, you're an earthbender. Oh, hey, you're a waterbender.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so peculiar. No other character exposited and said what was going on as much as he did. It was very odd.
He's the main character.
I mean, yeah. And also, look, the acting wasn't my biggest problem with the show. It was more so much of the pacing and, like, giant condensing that had to happen. Because it's like, they are distilling.
That's just it. They have to do it in order for it to...
No, I know, but it's like, it could... I think they could have handled it a little better. Like, especially, like, the ending of the first episode. It's like, really? We're just shrinking this big significant thing down to, like, just the last 4 minutes. That was an issue for me personally, because that's, like, one of the first moments, you know, the show really hooked me in and said, I'm watching all the way to the end. And also, weirdly, the show kind of came off as apolitical in a way, and this is like, really?
I mean, it didn't take hard enough stances, or... I mean, the Fire Nation is inherently bad for feeling it should rule over everything.
I mean, yeah.
But what they truly believe in their cores, what the Fire Lord Ozai it seems like he's marching because that's what his dad did. Right. And I can agree with you, Jordan, in a sense that that's not really a political stance at all. That's just kind of the faults of humanity, if you want to tie it to something.
And it's like 8 episodes, and they didn't really dive more into, like, you know, what the overall effect of, like, the Fire Nation's, like, colonization and fascism. Oh, sure.
They did some really kind of subtle things, though. Like, for example, the Earth tribe that goes missing in the spirit world were decked out in, like, Korean outfits. And they were, like, beaten down. I mean, that, you know, kind of group. And that makes sense for historically if we see the Fire Nation as kind of being this Japanese allegory, right? That it would make sense. So they did some really subtle things, I think, that were political. Yeah,
okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah, but I don't think it has to push it like that.
Yeah, I think one of my biggest problems was, like, the handling of, like, the Kyoshi warriors and, like, Sokka's journey with that. Like, they really should have done a better job adapting that, honestly. I get why they'd want to remove an element like that, but it's like you're kind of removing, like, the catalyst of, like, so much of Sokka's character growth and development.
Now, who's the Kyoshi warrior who really took a liking to Sokka in that episode? Suki. I thought she was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Here she is. Maria Zhang plays Suki, and I thought she was wonderful.
No, I really liked her, and Yvonne Chapman as Avatar Kyoshi, who was, like, Aang's wise voice of, "Murder's cool, kid. Go do it."
Right.
Now, my problem with that is, Aang, to our listeners, he has the ability, as all avatars do, to speak to their past selves. And the past self would come, give the advice of their life to Aang. And rather than Aang taking on that advice, to me it seemed like he was like, okay, boomer, and just did his own thing.
Well, yeah, because he's, again, 12 years old and was a pacifist. Well, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and Kyoshi was not, you know, and...
No, not at all. Kyoshi's everyone's favorite. I love Kyoshi as well.
Kyoshi was very much the avatar that said, hey, be gay, do crime.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But Aang needs to figure out his own path, but his own path seems to be Kylo Ren, and I'm supposed to root for that? He gives a little speech like, oh, we should just let the past die. And Katara says, kill it if we have to. Just kidding. That's not verbatim what they say. Like, but that's kind of how I felt their conversations went.
They kind of, like, condensed a lot of, you know, Fire Lord Avatar, the previous Avatar of the Fire Nation. Avatar Roku.
Avatar Roku was so wise and so disciplined, and Aang, just like the other avatars, he was like, okay, boomer. And I just felt like, is this because I'm old? Am I, like, too old to appreciate this, like, naivete?
Okay, 12, but technically he's like 112. Let's be fucking honest.
He's 12. He just paused for 100 years. He did not, and that was Boomy's whole thing, is that he did not go through 100 years worth of growth. So
okay,
speaking,
okay, I will, okay, some positives I do have. Speaking of, I barely recognize Utkarsh Amducker. Ambuducker, I apologize because I'm a really big fan. I love Ghosts, and I just, like, went back through all of Ghosts. I barely recognized him as Boomy. That's a great job on the makeup department, and also just how good of a performer he is. That, and, like, everything to do in the Earth Kingdom. Like I said, I'm an Earth Kingdom girly. Like, Omashu, like, that might be my favorite episode. Like, the or Spirited Away, which I'll get to. But, like, yeah, Omashu looked great. I was happy to see Danny Pudi.
Yes.
And, yeah, like, that and Spirited Away were kind of, like, my top contenders for the best episode, because we do get to see Ko, the face stealer.
Voiced by George Takei.
Oh my god. Okay, Cole, I thought was creepy in the series. So fucking creepy here, seeing that actualize. And yeah, with George Takei, who has previously done voices in Avatar The Last Airbender himself.
Yes.
Now, my second daughter, who's coming into her own and deciding what she likes, loves monsters, loves ghosts, loves creatures of the night, loves a good scare. I think this pushes the envelope, but isn't too scary for the little ones.
No.
Maybe I'm just looking through that through my daughter's brave courage lens, because the Takei monster was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
What do you two think of that? And how lovely did all this production look? Let's talk about that
too. I love the production. I think that sometimes it came across a bit like BBC Doctor Who-ish, but that's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? That's not that. I mean, it's a fantasy world, so it's going to have a little touch of Uncanny Valley to it, and I think that's appropriate.
The production is great. Like, the set design, the cinematography, all that, that's great. And certainly way better than the 2010 film is that these effects are good, and I actually believe that's Appa I am seeing, and not just some giant blob of CGI.
I actually cried when I saw Appa on screen.
Appa is big boy.
He's a good boy. He's bestest boy. And I was like, yeah, that's Appa. That's perfect. The costuming is so detailed that, for example, Sokka's and Katara's outfits look hand-sewn.
Yeah,
versus machine stone. I agree. And I love the attention to detail that they did for this show, because they had to get it to look right. If it didn't look right, they could not have sold it. And I think they did.
Especially with how many brilliant cosplayers have done these characters.
For sure. So
if they couldn't do just as good or better than that, everyone would be like, psh, this is another sad attempt at draining the blood from an IP I care about. Boo.
And here's the thing. I admit, this is way more of a reimagining than it is like a straight up adaptation.
Right.
And I respect that. I do. I just don't think the reimagining was as well told as it could have been. I'm willing to go into season two because I definitely want to see like a live action Toph Beifong. That's my absolute favorite character from all of Avatar. And I'm certainly curious to see if they can keep up some momentum.
I've thought it was really interesting that we went back in time to before our story, and we got to see like bending right away. Whereas if they had followed it like step by step, we wouldn't have seen it for a while. And I think they got the bending right. I think that to animate and to film something like that in live action took a lot of talent to bring it to what we got. And I'm pretty impressed by what they did with the bending. It looks right to me.
Absolutely. The only bending I thought was kind of peculiar looking was water bending. And a big part of that is because water not being the shape of what it's in for me is peculiar and strange. Yeah. And what is this? My mind is literally attacking that. Like, witchcraft!
Yeah.
Burner at the stake!
I do want to point out to the other main cast member we haven't talked about, Ken Leung as Commander Zhao. First off, excellent mutton chops. You are pulling those off. Second off, good to see you again. He was very good. I also enjoyed Elizabeth Yu as Princess Azula, a.k.a. my questionable taste in women. And
she's such a baby face.
I thought
it was... Do you think that helps with the character?
I think so.
With her...
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah, no, it definitely helps. Like, think back to the original cartoon. Like, you see it's like, it's adorable. And then you hear Grey Delisle start speaking. It's like, you're gonna just ruin everything.
Well, definitely something I appreciated about this series was I do want to revisit. I just remember Azula being, hi, I'm Azula. I'm the embodiment of evil. Watch me be evil. And it'd be very cool.
Mm-hmm.
This Azula, and again, I might be way off base with the original, but this Azula seems to have so much motivation to honor duty and answer the call of her nation.
Yeah.
And it's very sad and very cool. But
it is. And I really liked Elizabeth Yu as... I really liked her as Azula. I thought it was curious to bring her in so early, but I think in this case it worked to, like, help round out, like, a lot of what Zuko's trauma is, and that's a big heaping load of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I really liked the addition of Azula here.
Well, it seemed like, because Fire-Lord, to prove a point to his son, does what we in the parental biz called someone called CPS.
Yeah.
Azula is so bound to wanting to impress, not just for the sake of glory, but for the sake of this is what I was born for. She seemed to carry that moment in silence like that should be me up there mm-hmm. fighting my father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just broke my heart. Everything about the Fire Nation I loved in this series.
Yeah, no. And it's amazing how someone that psychotic can be friends with such a adorable little cinnamon yeah. roll, such as Ty Lee.
I love her entourage.
I like Ty Lee and May. I thought they were...
Yeah, they were great. Yeah. And they were good friends, good support. It really does set an interesting dynamic to have so many characters from the Fire Nation represent so many different types of people, mm-hmm. and it not just be the Fire Nation is bad. But I suppose that's how the animated series was yeah. as well. Before we go on and on about how much I love the Fire Nation forever, because I swear that they're the bad guys.
Yes. But you have to have really good bad guys.
Yes. Good bad guys can make or break a show. Harmony, your final thoughts on Avatar: The Last Airbender, presented by Netflix.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this. I thought they did a great job. Could it be better? Of course. But I think this is a really hard thing to translate to live action. And I think they did an admirable job. Like I said, the most important thing is that I think they got bending right. I think not necessarily people on this review, but like other reviewers have really torn this apart. I think they're being too hard because they have that issue of nostalgia. I didn't watch this show until after 2010. So I watched it as a full grown adult and I can appreciate the story that they've put into it, but I am not so beholden to my ideals as a child as some other people would be. So I think that they did a really great job. I think it's promising and that they definitely deserve more seasons. And I hope they'd make more of this and don't let kind of the negative talk that's gone around on the internet so far stop them from continuing this show, because I think it deserves to continue. My favorite is the costuming. And I love that they took the music cues from the show. They didn't create new music. They actually used music from the show. And I really enjoyed the hippies. That was always my favorite episode. watch the show. Oh, it's the cave hippies. Okay, great. And yeah, and there they are in their secret tunnel. So I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10 glowing crystals that don't necessarily lead the way.
Yeah. They hardly do.
Yep.
They never lead the way.
They never lead the way.
Jordan.
I was just about to start high school.
You were a child.
When Avatar. Yes, thank you. I came out the fetus watching Avatar, yes, The Last Airbender.
You were a child.
Tell that to my tutoring student. Bullshit. Like I said, I hold Avatar: The Last Airbender in great regard. I mean, I was watching his first episode with one of my roommates, who it's like her favorite show of all time. And yeah, like, I can definitely understand. It's like, yeah, some people might have too deep an attachment. I have a very deep attachment to this story, but I was willing to give it a shot. And I just thought, okay, is this a good reimagining? Yeah, but I also think it can be a lot stronger. Do I have a great affinity for Avatar: The Last Airbender? Yes, but I do appreciate that this is a reimagining. I do think it could have been a lot stronger in the writing department, personally. But performance-wise, it's very good. Like I said, especially Dallas Liu as Zuko. Fantastic. I mean, especially when you gotta follow, like, what a great 3D performance, like, Dante Bosco gave to make that character. Mm-hmm. That went from, you little whiny shit, to my son. and the effects are great. The effects are amazing. The costuming, the music, it's all wonderful. I was just left thinking, it was okay. And bear in mind, it's like, I'm definitely viewing this as its own thing. I'm not seeing this as like a one-to-one shot remake of, you know, one of the greatest television shows ever made, animated or otherwise, children or otherwise. I'm curious to see if they can get better with a season 2. I mean, I would love to see a live-action version of Toph. That, you know. But right now, I just think it's kind of okay. So I'm gonna give it like 6 out of 10, you know, little packages of fire flakes, because I could eat those by the dozen.
Very nice. I liked it. I had trouble, really my biggest complaint, finding out what do our heroes believe in? By the end of this whole thing, and again, I hadn't watched Avatar since it aired the first time, and I wasn't really a devout fan at all. My sister loved it. She didn't care for the final season because I guess something about execution is the only way to end a fascist or something. I'm like, I don't know what the context is, Lindsay. I don't remember. Anyways, by the end of this season, I was like, oh, I see what the show's doing. The Avatar is bad and Avatars need to go away. That's cool. And then after a while, I thought, wait, no, that can't be right. Is that right? I reached out online, and people who haven't even seen the show are like, that can't possibly be right. You either watched it wrong or the show's messaging is terrible. And I'm not going to gloat more about my undying love for the Fire Nation's portrayal in this series. Watch it for that. I'm going to give this one 7 out of 10 creepy little monkey squirrels that kind of fly around and look real. And I suppose that's a major character from the series, but I don't remember a flying monkey.
You don't remember Momo?
Don't, no.
The second best boy.
Second best boy, yeah. The littlest best boy.
I got attached to Legend of Korra. Anything before Legend of Korra, I would be like, oh, yeah. Aang and the wind nomads. I remember him. Oh, not really. J.K. Simmons was in Legend of Korra. I'm a huge J.K. Simmons fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
Gravity
weird.
Falls, same reason.
Yeah, it was weird how he told Avatar Korra, if you don't stop dragging on that drumbeat, I'm going to fucking murder you. I thought that was pretty risque for Nickelodeon, but you know what? They took chances, and that's what I admire.
Yes. Oh, my God.